Imagine working in a sweltering warehouse, or laying rebar in blistering heat for 10-hour days, or spending 16-hour days working in an adult care facility, all without pay. That's the situation that thousands of low-income Americans who are in work therapy drug rehab programs face.
The idea is basically that work will help pay for treatment and is very beneficial to people recovering from addiction because it gives them a work ethic. It helps them have structure and cope in the real world.
At least that's what these centers say they're supposed to do. But Amy Julia Harris, who's a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, found out that the opposite is often true.
Many participants in the program have to work to pay for their recovery. And the way that it works is they are working often low-wage jobs without pay, and all of their pay goes to the drug rehab program to offset the cost of treatment.
Amy Julia joined us to tell us about her latest story on the Senecor Foundation. It's one of the largest work rehab programs in the United States, and it provides labor to companies you may have heard of, like Walmart, Shell, and Exxon.
The Senecor Foundation was founded in the 1960s. It is a therapeutic community, which is a very structured residential drug rehab program that believes in order, strict rules, and work to help people recover from their addictions. So it's a two-year long-term drug treatment program. They have outposts in Texas and Louisiana. And it is largely free for those who enter the program, but a condition of their being in the rehab is that they have to work. And Senecor has contracts with more than 300 for-profit companies across Texas and Louisiana, and that is how they fund their drug treatment programs. So some of the jobs that clients in Senecor are working at are oil and gas refineries, in chemical plants, in warehouses, factories.
This sounds like indentured servitude.
Labor experts have told us that this model is probably a violation of the Fair Labor Standards Act. We spoke to multiple labor experts who said that this would be illegal, that rehab participants, even though they are in rehab, are employees and have to be paid minimum wage and overtime, and that rehabs are probably violating labor law by keeping all of their pay.
Are these people who are going to rehab voluntarily, or is this something that's imposed by the courts if they've gotten into some sort of trouble?
At the Senecor Foundation, it's about 50-50. Half of the clients who go to Senecor are ordered by a judge, often in lieu of incarceration. And we saw, as there is an opioid epidemic all over the country, that more and more of these programs have propped up in response to the demand. And often very desperate and vulnerable people end up going to these programs because they don't have enough money to go anywhere else.
How does this even happen? If someone goes in to a rehab facility, are they made aware that this is how they're going to pay for their treatment? And if so, how can someone sign off on that given the vulnerable state that they're in when they go into a rehab center?
So these rehab programs are very affordable and market themselves as free to people recovering from addiction. So they are often the only option for very vulnerable people who don't have insurance, don't have a family support network to help them pay for rehab and treatment. So it's often the only option for people to pay for their recovery. I think one thing, talking from a lot of people who went through the program, they just didn't realize the sheer number of hours they would be working while in rehab.
Are these for-profit companies aware that they essentially have accessed a pool of free and vulnerable labor?
Many of the major companies that are contracting with Senecor are aware of the drug treatment model, and the way that Senecor pitches themselves to these companies is, look, you're giving a drug addict a second chance, you're helping them with the work ethic and giving them a stable footing for later in their lives. So many of these companies think that they are actually doing a very good thing and giving people a second chance. There's obviously also a financial benefit for the companies. Centacor is often charging less than temp agencies. So it is a financial benefit to the companies as well.
Well, then who then gets the money? Is it Centacor that gets the money, or these companies are getting the labor? I'm just wondering where the worker comes in, or the patient, if you will.
Centacor is keeping all of the money from the job contracts. So the for-profit companies would pay Centacor sort of, you know, a lump sum for all of the labor. And then Centacor keeps all of that money ostensibly to pay for treatment. Centacor's financial documents showed that they were making more than $7 million from all of the various job contracts. And we got internal financial documents, though, that showed Centacor was making far more from the job contracts than they were actually spending on clients.
I was just going to say, do they actually use any of those funds towards the treatment itself? I mean, that's supposed to be the equation. Is that happening?
We talked to many clients and former counselors, though, who said that work came before everything else. Multiple clients described working 80 hours a week, 7 days a week, and not having enough time for group classes or counseling or therapy sessions.
Why has the government not acted on these questionable labor practices?
Clients have complained to the Department of Labor. I think because of these drug rehab programs are operating in a space where there is such a huge demand for treatment, and different government agencies really want to send people to treatment rather than prison. A lot of clients who ended up complaining said that government administrators just sort of dismissed their concerns, saying you should be grateful that you have the opportunity to attend a drug rehab program rather than go to prison. And their complaints often were never investigated.
Amy Julia Harris is a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Amy Julia, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We reached out to the Centacor Foundation, Walmart, ExxonMobil, and Shell. Shell responded saying they are investigating the matter. Exxon said they don't comment on third-party sources, but they deny allegations of misconduct. We have not yet heard back from Walmart.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.